I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
What's your strategy for spiritual strength? Because we're going to need something, right? We need a strategy for spiritual strength. Is it more Bible?
Yep.
Is it more prayer?
Yep.
Is it more of something?
Yep.
Well, you're wrong. That's not where we get it, kind of. I'm joshing you a little bit. Because we got to remember, we're seeing things upside down and backward while we're down here. And down here, less is actually more. And spiritual strength isn't about what we do at all as much as it is about what God does. Like John the Baptist, who says he must increase, but I must decrease. Not what I do, it's what I undo. Because you see, God grows his kingdom in its strength by conquering human hearts. And that means the best thing that we can do is just make way for the king. And once our heart is under his rule, it's also under his protection, which is awesome. And from that moment on, we have personal access to an unshakable, undefeated, and inexhaustible God whose sole purpose for winning us over was to take on all the battles that we are too weak to win. Win-win situation. This is good stuff. And that includes things like our battle with sin that we just can't win and our battle with death. It's beyond us. And yet, all the unlimited power of God's provision for our life hinges on one decision that he leaves in our hands. And it's this. It comes down to this question. Who gets control of our heart? Because that's our call. That's up to us. Because God won't win a war that we don't want fought. You got to ask him. You got to tell him that you want him as a part of that, that you need him. He's the reinforcements. And if we do actually choose him as our champion, all that he asks, it's a little big ask, but all that he asks is that he gets complete control so he can flex his full power without us getting in the way. But for us to step aside so that he can step up and win all those battles, first we have to truly understand and actually believe that spiritual strength isn't a result of our effort. It's a result of our surrender. This is that upside down world. Because the biggest obstacle to giving God control has always been letting go of our own. That is hard to do, which is precisely what he tries to tell all of his obstinate children in the Old Testament when he says, listen, guys, in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. Because, you know, like others in the Old Testament, it is really hard for us to truly trust that the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. That's your job. Surrender. Get out of that way. It's just hard for us to believe that because as good as that sounds, it could not be more counterintuitive. Less is more. No, that's hard. It's like trust falling or bungee jumping or spending money to make money, right? These are all things that we just can't believe. They're so counterintuitive to us. Even if we understand the principle, it's hard for us to do. It takes practice to overcome our instincts. Right? That trust fall. You just can't bring yourself to do it, but you know that it's going to be okay. And in this upside down and backward world, we are born believing that we have the power to protect and perfect ourselves. But spoiler alert, we don't.
That's right.
We cannot accomplish that task. And that instinct that we do have to believe that we do, we call that pride. Think that it's on me, that I can take care of myself. Pride. And letting it go is the hardest thing that we actually can do in this life. Because here's the real problem with pride. Pride is a sneaky little snook, I tell you what. Pride, I don't know, it's a cartoon, isn't it? I don't know, anyway, dates me. The problem with pride is it's as subtle as it is stubborn. It is so hard to get out, so hard to find. It takes incredible effort just to identify it. So forget, let alone letting it go, that is hard. But every single little piece of pride, however harmless it may seem, is a part of the power that needs to get booted before there's room for our new king to move in and do his thing. So it's all got to go. And that's hard because it hides, but pride can't hide if you know how to look for it. And I'll tell you, this is an interesting thing that's just reared its head this last week. A common sign of subtle pride is the unnecessary apology. I've never seen it so clearly as I have this week. To illustrate, though, let me go back in time here and tell you a story about my youngest daughter. Oh, my youngest daughter, God bless her. She has a very expressive energy, and so like me, she is a total ham all the time from the moment that she was born. Since the beginning, there's not been a moment where she's not been, I don't know, you know, making a joke or making a face or doing a dance of some sort. And one day back when she was 4 or 5, we were visiting my sister, and my daughter had the whole room in stitches performing what can only be described as some sort of like full body dance, but it was just whatever. It was just an awkward, like a gymnast, I don't know, it was scary is what it was. But then suddenly, in the middle of it, she stopped because something was going wrong, and I could see it in her eyes, so I ran to her instinctively and put my hands out to catch a surprising amount of vomit. I know, I'm so, it's, right? Yeah, apparently all that flailing had shaken loose around a half gallon of juice. I'm not exactly sure how much it was as it was sifting through my fingers, but I'm so, it was warm. Is that, no, I'm sorry. Not sorry, sorry, not sorry. But I was just sitting there, and this is a comical, ridiculous situation. But right before I could laugh at how gross the situation was, she looked up at me with an expression that was equal parts shock and shame. And she said, "I'm sorry, Daddy." And it broke my heart to hear that. I hated that. Because why was she sorry? She didn't do anything wrong. Why was she sorry? It just hurt me as her dad so much. And I realized, she was just being a kid, right? She was just being a kid, but somewhere deep inside her, some scrap of hidden pride told her that she should have been more in control. Oh, I hated that. No, you shouldn't. You're just a kid. But when she had that uncontrolled barf, that also took the belief with it. You know, she no longer thought that she was supposed to hold it back. But when that happened, she felt sorry for falling short of this ridiculous idea. And as a loving parent, all I wanted to do was correct it. I wanted to just run to her and take away that shame by making her understand kids should not be sorry for what they can't control. And furthermore, kids can't control much, right? We know that. Oh my goodness. In fact, the whole job of a child is just turning over control, right, to the parents. We call it obedience. It's what we ask them to do. You should not be in control. And it's good for parents to have that control because it allows them to protect and perfect their kids with the superior strength that a parent possesses. And God wants all of his kids to learn the exact same lesson. This is what we got to learn. This is what we're trying to learn this morning. Like Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And it's so strange and ironic that my daughter felt sorry for naturally being the very thing that we're all working to become. Because she, like all of us, has a hard time believing that we have permission to be imperfect. But we do. It's hard to get that through our heads, but we have permission to be imperfect. Just ask Nancy. Okay, how many of you here were here last week, first service? First service, we had a scary moment. I'll tell you, we'll talk about that in just a second. But I want you to know a little something about Nancy. Nancy has a lot of the same energy as my daughter. In fact, the first time that we really ever had a conversation, it was in line at a grocery outlet where I'm just going to get some cheese. And we were a person apart in line. And she had everyone in stitches because she decided to introduce me to everybody in the store. And she started demanding that everyone in our line and the line next to us and the clerks all needed to come to her church because it was the best one in the whole valley. And she didn't stop until they at least said they would try to stop by. Nancy, now that's being God's kid. I loved it. She made my whole month. It was so funny. And she just, that energy was just coming out of her. But you know what? Last week during first service, Bruce was up here doing his little dance, preaching, when suddenly it looked like something was going wrong with Nancy. And out of nowhere, she started having seizures. We had to clear everything out and laid her down, and a bunch of His Place family rushed over to offer their helping hands until we could get an ambulance in here, and she came too. And was so glad to report that she's doing great. She was here first service. We talked about it. We had a good laugh. She's just as vibrant as ever. You cannot keep Nancy down. That is the truth. But as she came to, she looked up with the same look of shock and shame before she said, "I'm so sorry." And that broke my heart again, because she had absolutely nothing to be sorry for. Which is what I kept trying to tell her. After I called her up and I said, "Hey, I want to talk about this next Sunday. Are you okay with that?" And she said, "Oh yeah, I'm so sorry that happened again." I said, "Stop being sorry, Nancy." And she's like, "Oh, I know, but I wanted to teach Sunday school and I couldn't make it over." Stop being sorry, Nancy. And it's just hard because her heart just wants to help. She wants all those things. But I'm saying, Nancy, you're just a kid. And it was tough, but she was okay with it. She's a good sport. And thank the Lord that she's feeling fine, and bless her heart, but she still felt bad for not teaching Sunday school. But I gotta say, don't you dare be sorry, Nancy. Don't you dare. Because Nancy's just one of God's kids. And that's just how we want you if you are in this place, as one of God's kids. Because Jesus said, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." That's us, every person here. That's what we're doing, welcoming God's kids. Which means it's our job in this building to make sure that every one of God's kids knows nobody here is in control. Amen?
Amen.
And everyone here is in need. Amen?
Amen?
And when that reality throws a wrench into our gears, like just trying to have a Sunday service, who cares? Who cares? It's our job to remind each other that God's kids are still just a bunch of kids. That's it. That's why things keep breaking down all over the place, nonstop. This place is run by us kids. And our Father is the only one who is ever in control. So, for the rest of this morning, I want to make one thing crystal clear. This is all we're talking about this morning. Every single person here at His Place better be here because they're weak. If you think that you've got physical, emotional, intellectual, or spiritual strength to win a war with sin and death, well, then maybe Scientology is more your speed. No, shots fired. Bring on Tom Cruise. This is the place for kids who heard the reassuring words of a father who seems to know more about us than we do. And apparently, weakness is one of our defining traits. That's just hard for us to see because he lets us in on it. He says, "Look, there is no one righteous, not even one." It's like a burn. He has to just say it over. None, not even you. Think it's you? Not even you. Nobody. Got it? Throw your head. You're like, me? I'm the exception? No! No one is righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who's even seeking God. For all of us kids have sinned and fall short of the glory of God because we ain't him, we're his kids. And since God already knows that, it must be something important for us to learn now. So we gotta get that through our heads. I love this story. Professor Randy Pausch wrote a book called The Last Lecture. Great little short book. And in it, he shares all of the most important life lessons that he ever learned. And in it, he tells the story of picking up his niece and nephew for a weekend trip in his brand new convertible he was so excited to get. And when the kids run out, "Hey, Uncle Randy's here," mom and dad slow them down and grab them and start warning them up and down about making a mess in Uncle Randy's brand new car. You know, wipe your feet, look out. So Randy opens a soda, and while the kids are getting warned about it, he just slowly starts pouring it out all over the cloth back seat of his brand new convertible. And he did this just to make a single point. He just wanted to make sure that the kids knew that he knew, well, kids are naturally messy. And that he invited them fully expecting that a mess was going to be made. So later on in the weekend, when his nephew got the flu and threw up all over the back seat, Randy was glad. He was glad to see that there was no need for an apology. The kid didn't feel bad because Uncle Randy helped them see that mess was just part of who they were. Right? That's it. That's us. We're just messy. And that Uncle Randy cared way more about a relationship than any old mess that they could make. Get that in you. Because right there, that's what God, that's how God sees us. That's how God knows us. God knows what to expect from his kids. It is us who apparently need to see it now. So when God tells us to act like his kids, he's not just giving us permission to be imperfect. He's demanding that we embrace our imperfection. Because we gotta admit that we're weak to see the need for his strength. Otherwise, we won't surrender. He cannot be our dad if we won't be his kids. So if you still think that you're better than you are, you have more control than you do, well, it's awfully hard for him to be your dad. So we gotta surrender. We gotta decrease. We gotta let go of thinking us kids have any control whatsoever. And until we do that, God's gonna keep trying to teach us that we're weak and in need of his strength. And I'll show you how he does it. It's a little bit scary, so I kind of want to just let go of the reins ahead of time and let him do his thing. But he says, the law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. You'll make more mistakes. But where sin increased to bring us low and humble us, well, grace increased all the more and filled us up with his strength, right? When we're emptied of ourselves and our ego and all of our pride. And so in that way, pride brings a person low. It sure does, right? But then the lowly in spirit gain honor because, well, you got nowhere to go but up. And he fills you up. That's, he can work with that. He can be your dad. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And it is not from yourselves. Get that out of your head. It's the gift of God, not by works. This is all on purpose so that no one can boast with any pride. He's helping us rob ourselves of that pride. Because if we want to be protected and perfected by perfect power, every ounce of our pride has to be emptied out by embracing those imperfections. Right? Get rid of it. I can't do anything without you, Lord. Because as the Lord reminds Paul, my power is made perfect in what?
Weakness.
Weakness. That's where his power is made perfect. And we need to learn that. And we need to see things the way Paul did when he got that message. Because he responds by saying, okay, well, therefore, I will boast. I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Look at me, I am nothing. That just shows how big God is. The less of me, the more of him. And that's hard. And nobody said it was gonna be easy. We live in an upside down and backward world. And it's designed to remind how hard things are when we think that we're in control. But we ain't, and it's hard. Oh man, it's so true. But apologizing for our weaknesses means we still think something is wrong with us, when in reality, weakness just means we're children. And that's how we celebrate it. And God wants us to see his strength as our strength, the way that an obedient child lives worry-free if they have an omnipotent father. You know, you don't worry about anything anymore. The spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that, you know, you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him, that spirit that brought you into the family, we cry, Abba, Father, as his children. Because you see, God didn't pour a soda out to teach us who we are. He poured his spirit out to teach us. And through him, we're given the familiar feeling of family to help us overcome our instinct to think that decrease means defeat. Of course not. And you know that when you start to see the family analogy at work, because when your dad is invincible, surrendering control is not admitting defeat, it's declaring victory. I mean, we brag about our earthly dads being able to beat up other dads all the time, right? Because as children, we know dad's strength is the biggest weapon that we have on our side. And I know if I were to go at it, I'd lose miserably, right? So we're like, my dad can take care of yours. And we wouldn't ever apologize for being weak, because our weakness is the whole reason that dad wants to take on every single enemy that ever picks on us kids. And furthermore, I mean, this is why it's so important to see things this way. As we're just his kids. That's all that's happening here. And as his kids, we got to know this. There is no fear or shame in a parent's love of their child. That's not what he's asking either. You better step aside and be afraid. No. No, there's no fear or shame in a parent's love of their child. So if you are feeling that, if you're feeling scared by this life, or if you're feeling sorry for who we are in some way, all that means is that we're not accepting our identity as God's kid. God's weak little kid. Because when God's your dad, you don't hesitate to call on him to win your wars. You're excited about it. Oh, dad, I got another one. Let's do this thing, right? You're excited to surrender that control and get him on the hook. Because it means saying goodbye to ever being sorry. It means saying that our mess is not in our hands. All my failures are not in my hands. And when we lose control, we also get to lose our liability. It's not my fault. Lord, you take it from here. He don't make mistakes. That's what's so great about it. You don't have to worry anymore. You're not scared of anything. We are free. At that point, it is him who is working through us, and we are free. But, okay, before... I want to make sure you don't mishear that. I don't want you walking around out these doors going, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm God's gift to the world. I am perfect. Ha ha ha. Your fault. No, don't do that. I am not saying that we can't be sorry for the messy mistakes that we choose to make. We know that side of you as well. Yeah, I'm not saying that we get out of those without being sorry. It's just those unintentional messes that come from being a kid that need no apology. Right? Just how you are, just naturally. The things that we're working on, trying to get better, but they just happen. But regardless of however the mess was made, the answer always stays the same. Whether it was intentional, unintentional, wherever you're at, when you're at odds with God, when you are in some way trying to take more power than you ought to have, the answer is the same. Surrender. Surrender to Dad. Make way for King Dad, because to all who did receive him and his power, his kingdom into your heart, to those who believed in his name as dad, as father, the one who fights for you, he gave the right to become children of God, because he calls us his kids when we call him our dad. That's all it takes. It's that simple. Just surrender. Say, you're dad. Because listen, God already knows exactly who we are and exactly what he signed up for by inviting us into his family, into his house, into his convertible. He knows we're going to make a mess. It is us who need to see that we're kids of the King, and that it's okay to make a mess. And that always starts with our surrender. Surrender. Surrendering our subtle belief that we're in control by forfeiting every single fight before it even starts. Forfeiting every fight without ever apologizing for our weakness. Say, I can't handle it. My dad's going to take this one. Because kids of the King are still just kids. And every single one of those losing battles that we're looking down the barrel of is an opportunity for us to step aside so our dad can step up. And the more that he does, the more we can learn and feel and really know in our heart why we get to say, when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray, guys. Father God, oh boy, do we love you, and we thank you for loving us by accepting our mess without our apology. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you help us to just let go of control and embrace our imperfection, knowing that's what drives every one of us weak kids into the arms of an unbeatable dad. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for demonstrating how the full power of our Father wins all our wars when we simply make way for the King. And everybody said, Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make His face shine upon you.